grandmother tried to teach shorthand, and I really wish that I had paid attention and learned it, because that would be really cool to know. Because I saw her do it, and it's crazy. It looks like, it looks like shorthand.
Let me see what shorthand writing
cursive
looks like.
Or what?
Yeah, that's
she
just, that's.
Yeah, she made like just a mark for like word, or probably not even each word. Huh. I doubt she kept in like vowels. Or
yeah, I'm looking at a picture of like shorthand now.
Dude, that looks like hieroglyphics. Holy shit.
Yeah, dude. Yeah,
yeah. Hieroglyphics was the word I was thinking. I was trying to find, but I couldn't. But yeah.
No, yeah. What the fuck? Here I am dunking on like Zoomers for like learning cursive, and I'm looking at I kind of feel like an asshole now, because I'm like, what is this madness?
So she did that when she was a secretary for a while. That's like what she would write in all the time. It's crazy. I would watch her write that way, like just paragraphs and stuff. Just be amazed.
It fucking looks like, I don't know. It looks like something you would, it looks like an Indiana Jones, like, journal that, like, they're trying to fucking solve, or, like, a national treasure or something, and it's just, like, Nick Cage just looking at it confused. Mm-hmm. But Nick Cage is older, so he would know shorthand. Maybe. I don't know. Nick Cage is kind of weird.
I think he's acted too much, so he doesn't have to write anything, so doesn't know it.
Yeah, he's acted so much, and it's just overridden his entire personality. He doesn't even know who he is anymore.
Oh, no.
Each job.
The Hollywood liberal brainwashing is real.
Yeah, each job, he's just, like, tucking his real personality, Nick Coppola's personality, just deeper and deeper in, until he's just not going to be anybody except for just like, he's just going to go by Cage.
Yeah, I think like the only memory he's going to have when he dies is like the scene in Con Air where he steps out of the bus and he's just like smiling
and the wind going through his stringy hair.
Yeah, that's just like that's the epitome of this memory. The happiest moment in his life.
The happiest moment of his life. Just like wind in the hair with a really bad southern accent. Waiting to get on a plane with John Malkovich. You know what? Con Air is a very underrated movie, in my opinion. Con Air.
I love Con
I've
Air.
Like, yeah, I've actually rewatched it like a couple times this month. I'm like, I'm bored. I want to go to sleep. I'm going to play something stupid. So I'm going to play Con Air.
Con Air over and over again. Stop or the bunny gets it. Oh, but anyways, I guess that we're live.
Oh, dope.
We are live. Welcome to the High Kind. It is me, Huntley. I'm with Andy and Kate. No, shit. I fucked it up already. I'm with David and Caitlin.
Oh, man. I mean, maybe you saw Andy's spirit and he's like, I want to be a part of this.
Oh, no. It's just such a routine now of just like me being like, I'm with Andy, David, Caitlin, if Caitlin's on. But yeah. I always start with Andy first.
True. Alphabetical order.
Yeah, so yeah. I just went straight autopilot there. But no, Andy is not with us. Andy is in a cabin.
In the woods.
In the woods.
Living his best life.
Jealous. As far as we know, did he ever get his COVID test back?
I don't know. His phone doesn't have any reception.
Oh,
I've
Jesus.
I've talked to Jamie a couple times.
Wow.
Via text.
Yeah.
They've left. So
he's just 100%.
They're both gone. Neither of them get any reception. They're actually in the cabin. They have to drive in whatever. I don't know where they are. They're like 2.5 hours away. But they have to drive into the nearest. So then Jamie gets her phone.
So Jamie can like reach out to the world. That sounds like a fucking horror movie.
Yeah, it really does. Mm-hmm. It's a great setup for a horror movie. But she texted me today and was like, hey, how's the cats? How are the cats? I'm like, yeah, the cats are good.
Yeah.
They're fine. She's like, all right, cool. Bye.
All right, cool. Goodbye.
As long as the cats are fine, that's all that matters.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're out there. I mean, like, what, like, if the doctor tries to catch him and just be like, hey, you have the COVID, he's not going to know until he comes back.
Well, I'm assuming he'll get his voicemail from that doctor, like, you know, at some point when they're driving back, hopefully, you know, half hour, an hour or so back in trip. I really hope it's negative. My work finally just told me that they're going to provide tests for us on Thursday at 3 o'clock. So that's
good.
That's good. Yeah. Well, like, the one thing Andy is doing right is he is staying in just like a cabin in the woods. So if he does have it, it's not like he's exposing tons of fucking people to it.
Yeah.
I mean, and he's such a hermit anyways. I'm just like, while we're talking the COVIDs, I say that just like, if he did get a positive, he might just be like, you know what, Jamie, turn around. Let's just not even go back to civilization. Let's just wait for it to be in ruin.
Yeah.
I mean,
I could see him doing that.
Need them to come back. I am not prepared to take care of all four of these cats by myself.
Yeah, no, no.
No, true.
Plus my cat and my rabbit.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially Dee Dee. She might eat you alive at some point.
Yeah.
Oh.
Dee Dee don't play.
Mm-hmm. Well, and none of them want anything to do with me either. They just like all want in to where they sleep at night, which they're not allowed into the bedroom. And they all just scream at me, like, starting from about 2 hours before it's time to be fed. And,
oh my God.
And then I feed them, and then they're like, okay, fuck you. We're done with you. Unless you're going to let us into the bedroom.
Jeez, so particular. Maybe they'll warm up after a couple more days of you being the source of food.
Well, their mom and dad are supposed to be home tomorrow. So, fingers crossed.
Supposed to be.
To come home back. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully they. But
he's going to be driving. He'd be like, nope. Screw it. We're turning around, and we'll never hear from Andy again. Do you have the address of this cabin so we can fetch him if need be?
I have legitimately no fucking idea where they are at
he's
all.
Not coming
I don't
back.
Even I don't know which direction they traveled.
Oh shit, he's not coming back.
You. Oh my God, yeah. Andy just ghosted all of us.
He just ghosted all of us.
For real. Like, they could be just gone, you guys.
Well,
no,
Andy,
good knowing him.
Yeah, good knowing you, Andy. It's we will carry on the high kind without you. So
carry the flag.
Yeah, we will carry the flag. But tonight we are doing something a little different outside of ghost, aliens, occult stuff. And we're not streaming it because we're talking drugs.
I'm so excited. Once I found out you said we were good to go about talking about drugs, I took a little microdose of mushrooms.
Oh, perfect.
Very nice.
Perfect.
Yeah, so
perfect.
On an empty stomach, no less.
Well,
oh, perfect.
So. Yeah. Even better.
Yeah.
So, yeah, cool. Big reason why we're not, you know, posting this on, you know, Twitch or any kind of live streaming services is because it's like we're going to be talking, you know, different kinds of drugs and, you know, different things. And it's like, it's not just about drugs, but the main subject is ego death and how, like, I've approached it and how David's approached it and is, you know, using drugs. And there's other methods to, you know, have ego death, but those have always been the surefire methods for me. And David, I assume that's kind of how you feel too, that those have been the best ways to do it.
Yeah, yeah, it's definitely the easiest path to achieve ego death, which is not always a good thing. But it can be useful. It can be enlightening, and I don't mean enlightening in like a you know, you've become one with the universe and you're actually transcending like Buddha did, kind of thing, but very insightful for your life, for better or worse, because if you ever experience ego death, like, it just don't give a fuck about your personal feelings. It's going to be brutal and raw, and that can be really bad, especially if you're in a bad place in life or in a bad mindset. So, you know, general mental health and substance warning, like, you know, you're doing this at your own risk. You've got to research and you've got to be in a good space and ideally have someone nearby that is available to help.
Yeah.
And, you know, whether it be physical or mental help.
Yeah.
Just get your set and setting all in place.
And once again, we are not doctors. We are not therapists.
No, not at all.
No. Not at all. Don't sue us. We take no responsibility.
I would like to take the other side of that mental health aspect, though, and say that as a person that struggles with dependency issues and anxiety and depression issues, I will say that if you are in a bad place, the right amount of the right thing can definitely help you out of it.
Yeah, for sure. And
even the right amount of ego death help you up thing to help with that bad headspace that you're in.
Yeah, that I've definitely had an experience like that with DXM. It was actually my third trip ever. I'd never done any drugs before. I was like scared to death of caffeine even for a long time, but finally got over that. And but no, my third, I was in a really bad spot in life. Like, I didn't know where I was. This was like, I don't know, I was like 20, I think. And I took a really high dose of it and I had sort of a breakthrough. And I legit, so I had a playlist set up and I was like very familiar with this playlist of music and how long each song was and what order and whatever. So that's how I'm able to know that I completely blacked out of just everything for about an hour. I couldn't tell if I was breathing. I was just not conscious. There was just like a blank window of time where I just didn't exist. And when I woke up, I felt like a completely new person. Like, I just felt life in me for kind of what seemed like the first time ever. It was just very, I don't know. It gave me a sense of purpose just to keep on living, because I was really struggling with that at the time. So that was a very positive experience. And I just, like, I thought I was just gonna die at that point. I was like, you know what? This is okay. But yeah, so I mean, I've got like a couple other stories, but
go for it. Like, you thought you were gonna die, like when the hit of DXM set in, or you were feeling like you were gonna die that?
No, like during the come up, like I was, you know, enjoying the moment, but when I really felt it kick in and I was like starting to black out and I felt like I didn't know if I was still breathing or if my heart was still beating, because I just kind of lost consciousness of that aspect, I was like, well, you know, if this is what's going to happen, this is what's going to happen. And that was, I guess, the ego death. And an hour later I woke up.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't remember anything at all about like, or
no, it was just completely black for that time. There was just nothing. I think I vaguely remember hearing like I don't know, whispers of the melodies of the songs that I was listening to, because it was all ambient and I was very familiar with it. I might have experienced that. Aside from that, nothing. Like, I just could barely feel my body functions at that time.
Cool. And that it was really smart of you to do that playlist so that you can mark time. Like, that's brilliant. I've never thought of doing something like that before. That.
Yeah, and especially back then, I listened to music basically 24/7. So yeah, I was like very familiar with the songs and their timing. Right. So yeah,
that's
yeah, it was really cool that I was able to do that for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My experience is similar. Of just like, you know, everything kind of just going dark. Just kind of seeing. Like, I almost kind of had, like, an out-of-body, well, I did have an out-of-body experience myself of just, like, looking on myself, just, like, kind of laying flat on the floor in a meditative state, and then it just kind of all just went dark, and there was just, like, all these different thoughts of came to me being, like, why do you care what people think about you? Why do you think this way? And then kind of just like, having that entire disillusion of just like not even really knowing. Like, I looked at myself and I was like, who is that? Like, completely just didn't know who I was for a minute, you know? And after that, I woke up and it took me a little bit of time I'm shortening the story because there's a lot to it. But when I woke up, at first I was just like, who am I? Where am I? Like, what is this? What is this purpose? What I felt like a robot just booting up for the first time of just being like analyzing even like the paint on my wall of being like, why is that paint there? Why do I have these clothes on? Why did I pick this? Who dressed me? Blah, blah, blah. And like, I came from the entire experience of it, feeling liberated mentally of just not caring what people think, not worrying about like the superficial of like, am I looking the right way for society to accept me? Am I reading the right things for society to accept me? Or just like, you know, the superficial stuff kind of just washed away from me after the experience.
Yeah, it's I know what you're talking about. It's very interesting to like rebuild yourself from the ground up after that, just, you know, coming back to your body, like, what is going on?
Yeah.
It's just, it's so, I don't know, it's beyond words really to describe exactly what it's like. Like, everything that in the world that you take for granted, like the paint on the wall that you mentioned, it's just like, this is a brand new thing, you know?
Yeah.
So everything just like floods back to you. You just have to like build yourself back up. I always found that process very interesting.
And like how I could compare it is kind of like formatting a hard drive with a backup.
Yeah.
You're kind of just like formatting, starting again, and you restore the things like that you want to keep with you. And just let go of like the thousands of files on your computer that, or pictures that are just insignificant, programs that you're not going to use anymore, and, you know, restore the things that are important to you and let go of the rest. That's how I felt about my experience. And to me, it's like, that's why when people talk to me about ego death or psychedelics, that, you know, they're just like, it's scary. And I'm just like, well, my experience has been good. I'm not going to openly advocate for everybody to take fucking psychedelics. I'm not going to openly advocate for people to do heroic doses of, you know, mushrooms, or find a way to do ayahuasca, or, you know, do peyote and stuff like that, because everybody responds differently. But for me personally, I've never had an issue. I've had some trips when I was younger and a little more inexperienced at this, that, you know, did go a little sideways, but they were never like scary enough for me to like swear the stuff off. And
what was it that you had taken?
I had done a heroic dose of mushrooms. Like, you have your normal, like, some people do microdosing, or like some people do 1 to 3 grams.
What is it, like 5 grams?
Yeah, like 5 to 10.
I did 7.5.
Yeah. That's a lot.
Yeah, yeah. And I came from the experience, and you know, I enjoyed myself when I've kind of started rebuilding myself. Then after I had come down, and it was liberating to me. There was nothing scary about it to me, and. Also, you know, had done it and they felt the same way. But then, like, you know, I hear about people doing that and they just have complete fucking freakouts. And when I've talked to them about it, they just said that, you know, they struggled, that they, you know, they got scared or whatever, and they started freaking out. Like, there's been multiple stories over the years of me doing this stuff with mutual friends, and some of them have had bad experiences. And I've always just wondered, why don't I have that freak out experience anymore like I did when I was younger?
It's very, you're very like you're very grounded in the place you are.
Yeah. And I think that's what that's exactly it. It's me being kind of grounded and knowing who I am. One of those things about it is I don't fight the trip, so to speak. I don't fight the experience. And I think that's what a lot of people do when things start getting a little sideways for them. They fight it. They're just like, no, I don't want to do this anymore. I want off this ride, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to sleep it off. I'm going to do this. I'm going to exercise. I'm going to drink a lot of water. I'm going to try to focus on one thing. And it's like being, the more you struggle to me, the worse it's going to be for you.
Oh, yeah. Because absolutely. When you're struggling, you're panicking, and so your anxiety is setting in, and so whatever it is that you've taken is going to start acting negatively, and so everything is going to be bad and scary and negative.
Yeah. It's like getting sucked in, like, I think of it kind of like the ocean, of like getting sucked in by the ocean. And you're trying to swim straight forward to the beach, like say that you're in like a riptide, and you're trying to swim towards the beach, and you're just exhausting yourself over and over because you're swimming against the a tide. And all you have to do is just kind of relax for like a second and then swim to the side. And then you're free of the tide, free of like the violent tide that's, you know, pushing you back. All you're doing is exhausting yourself. And like, I joke with people that, you know, when they say, I say, when I see the abyss, I don't run from it. I welcome it. And that freaks people out. They're just like, that's scary. That's a scary thought to think of. And I'm just like, is it? Is it really? Of just like, because you don't know what's on the other side of that abyss that you are struggling to run away from. For all right.
There's no reason to be afraid of something that you don't know.
Exactly.
Like, that's what's giving you that panic and anxiety, and the negativity that's coming towards you is feeling afraid of something.
Yeah.
When really you could just check it out, and maybe it's not bad at all. Maybe it's beautiful.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Maybe on the other side, it's soft.
Yeah, you just got to trust in the experience and just trust that it's going to guide you to a good place. One of the mantras that I always kind of told myself when I was feeling, you know, like that, or, you know, I felt things going sideways. One of my mantras was, I will always be okay. And I would just repeat that a couple times and let it sink in.
Yeah.
And that really helped. And, yeah. Get me back on track.
Yeah. Same. It's not so much the exact mantra, but I'm just like, it's cool. That's what I told myself. It's cool. This is just an experience that I'm going to be done with in a few hours. Mm-hmm. And if
whatever
I just
I'm experiencing It doesn't matter however scared I am, whatever I'm gonna be done.
Like, yeah, I am just
not
merely
this way forever.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just merely a passenger in a car right now driving down a road. That road ends, and I'm going to get out of the car. Why am I going to try to grab the steering wheel and correct it when I don't even know where the fuck I am?
Well, yeah, I was gonna say you're not the one driving even. You're a passenger. You're a passenger in a car, and you don't get to choose where it goes.
Yeah, you're not choosing the destination.
Where it goes. Yeah. You should just sit back and enjoy your trip. Enjoy your ride.
Yeah, enjoy the scenery. Look out the windows. See something that you may not have realized was there before. Don't try to reach for the steering wheel, because when you're reaching for the steering wheel and somebody else is driving, it never ends well.
No.
Mm-hmm. That actually reminds me, because I read through a lot of trip logs just to compare my experience to others. And during that, the one I mentioned where I blacked out for about an hour right before I was doing that, I kind of fixated on my chair, my desk chair. And I distinctly remember that, like, it was like spinning around in circles. My head was spinning along with it. I was like, this chair is going to guide me through this experience. Mm-hmm. Right. And I just kind of latched onto that for this kind of journey. And people do the same thing, whether it be a car or just some kind of object nearby, like this thing is going to guide me through this experience. So it's just like, you're really interesting that a lot of people fixate on a specific thing. Yeah. When, you know, the trip really starts kicking in.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's one of those, fixate to a degree to me is, you know, kind of like grounding yourself of just that tether, that leash that's holding you to the physical realm, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But when it becomes an obsession, like, and it's just like, you're no longer looking at it, you're just grasping onto it and just trying to hold on tightly, you find yourself in a bad mental place.
Yeah.
And that's when things start to go a little sideways for you. And I've been around people that have had, you know, bad experiences while I'm there. And I've been the voice of reason once I start, you know, sobering up myself or coming down, just being like, hey, it's fine. You're here. You're fine. Nothing bad is happening. Like, I've had people that just tell me that, like, one person was just like, I feel like I'm in hell. And I'm like, you're not in hell. You are fine. You are you. And it will be over soon. Just don't struggle too hard against it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't struggle, and just learn everything that you can from the experience. Just take as much away from that as possible and then reintegrate that into yourself and process it, you know, when everything's said and done. Mm-hmm. Just reflect on it. But in the moment, you just got to be in the moment and go with it. You can't fight it. It just makes it so much worse.
Yeah, be in the moment of it. And it's just like, go on.
Forgot my name.
Yeah, I've had those too.
And it was incidentally,
and I wish it wasn't. It was the worst trip I've ever had, and it really sucked. It was like full awakening. At the time I was like vehement, agnostic.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, whatever. I didn't know how to properly take dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff. And this girl that was living in the house, like, she was a roommate of the house I was tripping, and pretended like she fell down and broke her leg, like, beginning of our trip.
She pretended, or she did?
She pretended. Like, she tripped. My God. She didn't know we were tripping, and it's not her fault. I mean, I'm not going to blame her at all, but it was just like that set off that I,
that's not a good way to enter it.
No, it was the worst trip of my life. I tried, at one point, I tried getting out of the house, and, like, I wasn't unlocking the door properly because I was super fucked up, and I, like, couldn't get out of the house, and I, like, window, and I was in that window, and I was like, we have to get out of here. We have to get out of here. And it was a mess. And everybody that was there, well, there were two other people that were there, and they were both friends, and they were like, it's gonna be okay. And they tried to calm me down, do things that were familiar, and try to put me back in a place, but it did not work. And I mean, for like 6 hours, I was in hell. So
yeah.
Maybe want to know kind of like, I don't know where you're at. Actually, I would say
you want to know.
That would be like the most important thing. Mentally, maybe is. I mean, mentally is second most, but I would say, spiritually, you have to like. There's got to be something there.
Yeah. I recommend being in a place where you know somebody isn't going to pretend to break their fucking leg, because that would just kill my fucking high. Any kind of like high.
Okay, it was like really good, really strong acid, and it was like the third time I had ever tripped in my life. And it was a very strong, it was like liquid in like a Visine bottle. I was like 22, and I was just like, yeah, just squirt it into my mouth. I mean, it was just, I mean, I probably took like 10 hits, you know?
Oh boy. Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, now if I did that, it would probably, I mean, fuck, I would see God, you know, and I would like, you know, come out of it knowing exactly who I am and everything I want to be, you know, but. I don't know. It was wasted on my youth, fortunately.
Wasted on your youth. I mean, there was lots of times that, you know, acid and mushrooms and other things were wasted on my youth. Wasted on my late teenage years. And then I was just like, oh, I had like good experiences, but they weren't enlightening experiences. They were just like goofy fun. And I'm just like, man, I really wish I would have used that time there, because when I got older and had more introspective journeys, they were just, I was just like, I get why people do this now and do it. Not because it's just like, we're going to go trip balls, dude. No, it's just like when I do stuff like that, there's a purpose. I might get a little goofy and fuck around a little bit, but most time it's a purpose. It's to enjoy myself, learn something about myself, and, you know, see the world through just kind of different set of eyes, for albeit temporarily, but just to see things differently. And I think that a lot of psychedelics are wasted on just being like, we're gonna trip balls, dude, and just like watch cartoons all day. Yeah, there's weed for that. I mean, that's what I do. I smoke weed and I'll be like, I'm gonna watch Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
Yeah, there's different substances for different settings and uses. If you want to chill out and be goofy, do weed. Do the weeds. Have exactly two of them.
Yeah, do the weed.
if you have a substance abuse problem and you can get your hands on regularly, or God, like an eighth of mushroom, and microdose that shit, it's better than any or therapist.
That addiction.
I am living proof that microdosing helps with addiction problems.
DXM is also good for that too.
I've never had that, and now I really want to try it after having talked to you and heard your story.
Yeah, I'll talk to you about it maybe later. More in depth after this, but yeah, DXM's a whole other beast. Like, there's a lot to it, and I did a lot of... See, and that's the thing, like, you know, I'm not trying to be, like, elitist, but, like, Yeah.
What is it like similar to expand on it maybe for me and anybody else that might what it is?
Have you had salvia?
That was awful and also way. That was actually my very first hallucinogen that I ever tried, and I had only ever smoked weed before then, and it was horrible. And yeah. It was bad. I would maybe try it again now after, because we've talked about this a little bit before, but the first time when I tried it, I was like 18 or 20, and it did not go well at all.
Yeah, it's it's similar to salvia in the sense that it's a dissociative, so it's very strong in that. Salvia is like, it's really mixed, I find, with people. It either clicks with you or you just hate it. For me, for some reason, I clicked with salvia. It was still like very brutal and raw, but I learned a lot from it. And DXM is similar to that. There's a lot of intricacies with DXM and like how you dose it and when you dose it to get certain effects because of how it breaks down into other chemicals and then how those receptor sites respond to the different levels of the break. So yeah, there's like a whole science behind it. And I did a shitload of research into it to get like certain effects, but salvia is just really simple. You just smoke like a bunch, really like any drug.
Or just like one tiny little hit and then you fucking pass out holding the bong that you smoked it out of and you go on a 15-minute trip that feels like 25 years and you feel like you have actually gone thin in hell.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's like you spend an eternity during that 15 minutes and you come back just like, what? How old am I?
Sure. And where have I been? And where am I now? And who the fuck are all of you people? And who the fuck am I?
Exactly. Yeah. I will. There was one salvia experience I wanted to share, and it was kind of close to an ego death, but it was basically I don't remember how much I smoked, but everything in the world and myself like was just like layers. Like the thing I've seen with salvia is you experience different layers of reality depending on how far you go into that realm. And I was able, this one time, I was able to push and peel away all of the layers that was just like myself. And I got to the very core of everything, and it was just what drives you. And I just had this feeling that there was just nothing but pure energy and just love. And not like love in the hippie sense of like, you know, it's more like love of life, of just existing and experiencing, just that raw energy of motion that's at the core of all of us and everything. And that is what is able to connect us together. And it was just it's so hard to describe, but that was like, that's the best way I can put it. It's just, I experienced.
Well, that was beautiful.
It really was beautiful. And I want to go back there. It's very difficult to get to that point, but that was one of the most enlightening experiences I've ever had. And it was like just wonderful.
Doing a lot of self work, shadow.
Yeah, like that's exactly what I use salvia for, was a lot of shadow work and just trying to figure out who I am, what my true self is, and how to just, you know, live in this world and being true to myself as best I can. Mm-hmm. And just leaving a good mark on it. Yeah, for me, salvia was very good for that.
Hallucinogens I've found are very
Oh, you cut out for a second.
Yeah, you cut out for a second. Who's Luke?
Oh, they're really good for making himself aware and saying the values, these are is what I believe, how I want. Well, for at least it helps, or maybe even to specific people. I'm not. That's not actually what I stand for. What I stand for, and I think you're wrong. Help.
Yeah, yeah. It can definitely. Saying,
you know, this is who I am, and you know, if you don't like it, then you can go fuck yourself. Basically.
Yeah, yeah, that's because what that's where I've
I'm
come
proud
out
of myself,
it.
And I'm proud of where I am, who I be. Yeah. And it doesn't matter to me what you think of me, because yeah. I am happy with myself, and that's really all that matters.
Yeah, that's where I've come out of it, of just being like, I don't give a fuck what you think about me. Go fuck yourself. Right. Who cares? Yeah. Like, at the end of the day, like, I know that there's so many people out there that just, like, even when they're just going shopping, they're worried about people judging them, or, like, you know, or they're just worried about people judging, like,
yeah.
Judging them when they walk to the street, and I walk past the street, and I'm just like, I don't give a fuck what these people think. I'm never going to see them again. Who cares?
Yeah.
If I make an ass of myself or say something stupid, 9 out of 10 times, I'm never going to interact with that person again. Now, I'm not saying go out of your way and be a fucking dick or say awful shit to people, by no means, but don't dwell on just like simple mistakes. Don't dwell on, like, did you wear the wrong shirt that day? Don't dwell on, was my hair perfect, or did I? Those at the end of the day, those are so trivial, they don't fucking matter. And that's
how
where
you
I came
think
from.
About things like, did you smile at, you know, the person you out at the grocery store? Did you say thank you?
Yeah.
You you know, if there was an old lady going outside, did ask if you needed any help or whatever.
Yeah. Now, I always say
be a good person.
Yeah, I always say thank you to the people helping me at, like, grocery stores or the times that get fast food. I always say, now, old ladies, on the other hand, are probably not going to go out of my way to help them, because I have this thing about older people.
Well, I mean, you know, the point that I'm trying to make is, like, stop giving a fuck about what brand your sunglasses are, or your shoes, or, you know, like, if your makeup is perfect, and start worrying about, like, other people, and if your neighbors are okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to worry about that, all of those trivial details, like, so much growing up, and there were times where I had panic attacks when I was just, like, going grocery shopping, because it's just all the pressure of, like, trying to be perfect for everyone. And you can't be perfect for everyone. Not even for yourself, you know.
Try going through high school as a girl. I mean, I was a girl that wore makeup and high heels to school every day in high school, and now I don't wear makeup ever. And I mean, I'm not saying don't, like, whatever, if it makes you happy, then do it. And when I, you know, there are days when I feel like doing that, and I do it, and it makes me feel good, and I'm happy about it. But it's just like, I don't need that to like be happy with myself, you know, or be happy with the way I look.
Yeah, exactly. Like, do it for yourself, and not
do it for yourself,
not
anybody else.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
If, you know, putting on makeup or wearing fancy sunglasses, or, you know, wearing a fancy shirt makes you feel better about you, you know, fuck it. Who cares?
Do it.
But if you're doing it just to get the approval of others, there's always going to be somebody out there that's not going to approve of you. No matter what the fuck you do, there's tons of people out there that don't like me, and I don't even know what the fuck I did to them, but I can't dwell on it.
Yeah. If you're doing it to get likes on Instagram, or, you know, like, whatever, then you're not doing it for you.
Yeah.
You're not doing it because it makes you happy. You're doing it because, like, society is fucking bred you, programmed you to believe this is how you need to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to be the clone of everyone else. Otherwise, you don't belong, mm-hmm. and you're not worthy. Yeah. No, it's, yeah.
So if you're like that and you don't want to be like that, and you're thinking about trying to do something to not be like that anymore, then yeah, just like 7 grams of acid and it'll be great.
Yeah.
You'll be a different right. person the next day.
You'll be a different person the next day. You will be a different person.
Yes, you will.
Especially with acid. Yeah, you'll be another person the next day. You'll find God.
Yeah, you will.
Yeah, you will find God.
I found Jesus and Buddha standing next to each other, hovering over a lake. I was just like, hey.
Hi. How's it going, guys?
That'd be awesome.
Nah.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, I was just kind of falling and I fell into the lake. But they they were smiling at me as I fell into the lake. I was like, wow, cool.
What's up, man? Good. So, how much more can you ask for if you're just falling past them? They're both yeah. at you.
Not much.
Like, all right, cool.
It's okay. Like, see you later, I guess.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I really wish Andy was here because he took 4.5 grams of mushrooms. And it was the first time he had ever done anything besides weed.
Oh, it was the first time he didn't even build himself up.
No, he didn't. He divined about it. He was like, how much do I need to take?
Yeah.
And that's how much. And I mean, I'm not going to tell his story.
Yeah.
But
I'm sure he'll tell it to us.
He will. I wish he was here to tell it.
Yeah. Well, we're not even sure if he's coming back. So we had to carry on without him.
He has to come back. That motherfucker has to come back. I'll be so mad.
I mean,
we can always track him down
into the universe.
I'll use my tarot deck. You can use your pendulum. Yeah. We'll find him.
Did he leave his rods behind?
Yes, I do have the rods.
We can find him that way.
Well, he has a travel pair.
I'm sure he has multiple pair.
Yeah.
He does. Yeah. I will find him because he's not going to do that to me.
Yeah.
He at least has to take me and the animals with him.
Yeah.
He's going to do that.
Yeah, I hope he comes back for your sake, but as of now, I'm writing him off. I'm just going to assume that he is going to be a green sage in wherever he is in a 2-hour vicinity of his house.
He's going to become the next Radagast.
Yeah, the next round, I guess.
Abducted by aliens right now.
I mean, we don't know. We don't know.
No way of knowing.
Yeah, we have no way of contacting him.
At all.
Maybe Aleister Crowley is paying him a visit. I mean, they're just chatting.
Oh.
You know?
He would not. He would not like that.
He would be so mad.
Yeah, he'd be mad. He'd be like, all this time, and I get stuck with a person that I don't really like that much.
No. He would not be okay with Crowley.
No, he would not. All right. Well, do we got anything else?
I don't think so. I don't think I have anything else.
No.
Just, yeah. Yeah, no.
Hallucinogens and find yourself.
Be safe. Be in a good mindset.
Wear a goddamn mask. Wear a fucking mask.
Yeah.
Please.
If you haven't noticed, shit's getting real out there again. So just wear a mask. I mean, like, we're telling you, if you're going to listen to us about drugs, at least listen to us about masks. Yeah. Just wear a mask.
We all hate it. We're all tired of it. I'm tired of it. I'm fucking tired of it. Don't wear it in your car. I don't wear it in my car.
Yeah. Oh, I love it.
I love it when I see a car drive by.
No.
I mean, I think people are being really kind of crazy about it. But Jesus, if you're going into the grocery store, if you're going to the gas station, those customer service people don't have a choice. They don't have a choice.
No, they don't.
Put it on.
Yeah, no, no, wear
your asshole.
Yeah, wear your mask. Just wear your mask. Like, I'm the same way. It's like, I don't wear it in the parking lot. I don't wear it when I drive, especially. I mean, look, I wear it in my yard.
A good chance that it's probably like fucking some of your respiratory system up if you wear it too much. Like, I'm kind of in that camp. I don't like it. I don't like it. It's not cool. But don't know what the other people in your vicinity are, how they are, if they're old, if they're sick, you know?
Yeah. Or if they have some, a family member.
A baby.
Yeah.
Or an old sick family.
Yeah. You don't know. That's been my entire thing, is I don't like being told what to do.
No,
but at the same time, I'm like, what if I'm kind enough of a person that I'm like, what if Jim over there has, like, you know, a sister that he has to go deliver groceries to because she's immunocompromised and she can't leave?
What if there's a 75-year-old grandma that doesn't have any at all and she has to go to the grocery store?
Yeah. Exactly.
She doesn't have any other option.
Exactly.
To get meal delivery, and she just has to fucking do it.
Yeah. So.
And she doesn't have a choice. So it sucks. It sucks for her. It sucks for you. It sucks for everybody.
Yeah, it sucks for everybody. Just fucking pony up and just fucking do it. And the sooner we do it and all get on board, the sooner it'll be over.
Yeah, because, as there's the military saying, embrace the suck.
Yeah, embrace the suck. It sucks. We don't like it, but the numbers are going up everywhere right now. And, like, what was it? Like, David, like, when we were talking about it in March, it was like 77,000 were getting it daily. Now we're at, like, 100,000 to 150,000 getting it daily. And we thought the 77 was like fucking terrifying. And now we're double it.
Yeah. And that was back when we were just starting to ramp up testing too. And it's just like we weren't even prepared for testing. So it was just like that was huge at the time. Now we're testing shit.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's still fucking bad. And I firmly believe that these numbers are being very underreported.
Oh, very. For sure.
And
every country is underreporting.
Yeah, every country is underreporting. And it's bad. Wear masks.
I live in a county where there's a mask mandate and I still see
that don't
have masks on.
It's just a considerate thing to do, like, for your fellow humans.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like being told what to do. I am a Capricorn. I am a woman. I'm a tiny woman. And I don't like being told what to do.
Mm-hmm.
When people tell me what to do, I pretty much just say, fuck you.
Yeah.
Suck my dick.
Mm-hmm.
But still, fucking.
Yeah, just do it.
Sure.
Yeah, just do it. Just wear it. Just wear the mask. And, if you take anything away from this show, it is do drugs, wear a mask.
Yeah.
Yes. Wholesome messages.
Smoke a lot of weed, get really high, and then you don't give a shit if you have the mask on.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? I mean, it helps me.
Exactly.
Treat yourself to a bowl when you get out of the store and you have the mask
dude,
off again.
It's just another adventure.
I have so many masks that, like, it's entertaining to me. I have a Dragon Ball Z mask.
You can predict your fucking Goku or Superman or Batman or some shit. Like, I'm going to.
It's just new fashion accessories, people. Just wear them.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like,
it's in style.
Probably find a mask that says, like, fuck you. Like,
yeah, there's plenty of
wear a mask around and say, fuck you. Yeah. Just do get that one.
Yeah, get one. Yeah. Just wear it.
Shit. Why not?
And on that note, if you like what you hear, we are the High Kind. We are on every podcast platform. We are on Amazon, Spotify, Apple, Pandora even. So give us likes, faves, leave a little review. It helps people find the show, and we will be back.